Welcome back to our study on the life of Elijah. All right, we're going to switch topics and we're going to move on to the subject of prayer. Now, prayer is obviously very important, but for somebody like me who's grown up in church and this is just a part of their life, prayer can become rhetorical. The same words coming out of your mouth with not much power behind them. But here's the deal. Today we're going to study about how much power there actually is in prayer by digging into the life of Elijah. We're going to go back to my dad, Dr. Tony Evans, who has always has something great to say. You know, that's just how it goes with him. We're going to go back to him and he's going to help us dissect Elijah's life and help us understand what it means to pray with authority.
We want to talk about prayer because Elijah is highlighted in the Bible when it comes to prayer. You know, a lot of folk look at prayer like, like the national anthem before a sporting event, football game, baseball game. It gets the event started, but it has absolutely no connection with what's happening on the field. I mean, it's there, but it doesn't seem to be related, okay? And that's why so many of our prayers get routine and dull, and they are the same, because they seem so disconnected from the reality of life. When Elijah prayed, in fact, the New Testament highlights him. Let me read what the Bible says about Elijah's prayer, and then we'll go back to the context in which he prayed. It says in James chapter 5 that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much in verse 16. And then verse 17 says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. That's some serious praying. When you can get it to rain and stop raining, it's also some specific praying. He didn't just pray generally, Lord, bless me today. Lord, take care of me today. Lord, take care of my family. He specifically asked God to do a certain thing, a certain way, for a certain time. Now, the reason he could do that is that he was so close to God, he knew what God wanted. God had already revealed the famine. God had already revealed what he wanted him to do. So he was praying in concert with the will of God. You see, when you talk to God about what you know he wants, he will unveil to you things that you don't know that he wants you to talk to him about. Prayer is relational communication with God. It assumes a relational connection. You can always talk longer with folk you know. You talk shorter with folk you don't know unless you're forced to talk to them like bill collectors. In fact, you lie. You don't talk to them at all. You send somebody else to talk to them. But folk you know well, you communicate with easily, okay? Because there's a back and forth. Well, Elijah had such a relationship with God, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. So he sought to please God, live for God, as we've seen thus far. So the relationship was intact. Most of us have perhaps a receiver in our home where we draw down the picture for the screen on our television. That means we have a receiver that picks up a satellite signal and pulls it down to earth. Okay? Well, we don't see the satellite and we don't see the signal, but we get the picture because we're tuned in. Well, when you get tuned into heaven, heaven brings a picture for us on earth so that we are connected with heaven and we are seeing what God wants. That's why Jesus said in John 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, if you and I hang out together, you can ask me whatever you will and my Father in heaven will do it. Why will he do it? Because we are abiding. How do you abide with him? You include him. The more you include him, the more you are abiding. The more you are abiding, the more he is responding. The more he is responding, the more answers the prayer you are getting. But if you're not hanging out and it's a stranger conversation, somebody who you haven't gotten to know, you don't disclose intimate things to somebody you don't know very well. God wants us to have an intimate relationship with us so that not only do we talk to him, but he brings his thoughts, his will to us. And then when things get really serious, it says that he crouched down on the earth, back in 1 Kings 18 and verse 42, he crouched down on the earth and put his face between his knees. Now, that may not mean much to us, but it meant a lot in biblical days because that's how women would regularly give birth. They would crouch down and give birth in a squatting position. Now, that may not seem like an exciting position to pray in, but what did it mean? It means he was laboring in prayer. Why was he laboring in prayer? Because it was a big request, okay? The bigger the need, the more the labor. So when you have a big thing, push! You know, you grab him. You do like Jacob did. You don't let him go until he answers. Unless he said no, you keep going. You keep after God. In fact, he says he sent his servant out seven times to look for rain. Seven is the number of completion. He didn't just pray one time and quit. He prayed till he saw a cloud because he believed it was the will of God. Abiding leads to closeness, and when you have that closeness, until you hear no, I'm often asked, how long should we pray about something? Until you get an answer. Okay? Assume if you haven't gotten an answer, it's a wait until you get an answer. The last thing I love about this is he tells the king to go ahead and to ride because it's getting ready to storm, and then he says, the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. He girded up his loins and he outran Ahab, who was in a chariot, to Jezreel. While you're waiting on God to storm your life, he will give you new strength, Isaiah 40 says, to run the race until the prayer is answered. So even if the prayer is answered, look for your running shoes. Because if he's giving you new strength, it means he's taking you somewhere until the answer comes. Don't give up on prayer, because God won't give up on you. Amen. Well, thank you folks for joining us. As you see, we're having a great time, and I hope you're having a great time learning this truth and applying it as you interact together on prayer.